Welcome to the Deep Dive. We help you get straight to the core of strategic documents. Today, we're tackling a really important one, the Western Cape Climate Change Response Strategy, Second Biennial Monitoring and Evaluation Report. It's from 2017-18. Basically, it's a stock take, right? Across multiple sectors, we want to understand how the province, you know, pulled together information, spotted gaps in what they were actually doing, and try to get everyone on the same page about climate readiness.
Exactly. And you have to remember the backdrop here. It was urgent. The report itself says the science is unequivocal. But, I mean, even then, the Western Cape was already getting hit hard. They mentioned a considerable onset of several climate-related disasters.
Right, like the big drought.
The big one, yeah. 2014 to 2018. And what really struck me is how they classified it.
What was that?
A potentially once-in-a-millennium event. Imagine trying to plan after that.
Wow. Once in a millennium. That really changes how you think, doesn't it? The old ways just won't cut it.
Precisely. The whole paradigm has to shift.
Okay, but let's be clear on what this report is and isn't. It specifically says it's not meant to track, say, temperature trends or rainfall patterns.
No, it's not a climate science report in that sense.
It's focused purely on tracking the implementation of their response strategy. What actions were actually taken.
That's the core function.
So given that focus on tracking actions, the financial side really jumps out. This is where, you know, the strategic planning gets really interesting. The economic assessment they cite is pretty stunning. It says that by investing properly in climate resilience, the Western Cape's economy could actually be, get this, 33% better off by 2040.
33%, that's the carrot. It's a massive potential gain.
Compared to what?
Compared to the alternative scenario where the province fails to adapt effectively. In that case, they projected a potential contraction of the economy by 17%.
17% contraction? Ouch.
Yeah, a huge hit. And that massive risk, that potential contraction, is why the strategy has to be so broad. It covers 9 different focus areas across the whole economy.
9 areas. That sounds complex. What sort of things are we talking about?
Oh, it's a real mix. You've got water security, obviously crucial after the drought. Food security, too. Then energy, sustainable transport, waste minimization, even human settlements. It really cuts across everything.
Managing that coordination across 9 likely very different departments must be a nightmare. How do you even measure success consistently?
That's the challenge. Absolutely.
And, you know, let's push back on that 33% gain for a second. The report mentions historical damage costs, something like R5 billion between 2003 and 2014.
That's right.
But then the recent drought alone cost the agricultural sector R14 billion, just agriculture.
$14 billion, yeah.
So how confident can we be that the actions they were tracking back then are enough to guarantee that huge positive economic outcome given those escalating costs?
Well, I think that R14 billion figure actually makes the case for the report's main point.
How so?
It proves that the old way, the reactive way of dealing with disasters is totally inadequate now. The impacts are just getting too big, too frequent.
Ah, okay, so the R14 billion loss is the evidence for needing proactive investment, not against it.
Exactly. You can't just keep paying for disaster recovery on that scale. You have to invest upfront in resilience to avoid those losses in the first place. That's the shift the report demands.
Makes sense. And looking forward, the report talks about setting proportional targets. What does that mean for you, the listener, practically speaking?
It basically means they're trying to align their local actions with bigger international goals. So things like the Paris Agreement from COP21.
Yeah.
And also something called the Under 2 MOU.
Under 2 MOU.
Yeah. It's a commitment by states and regions, subnational governments, to get to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050.
So connecting local targets to these global frameworks, does that help with that consistency issue across the 9 areas?
It should, yeah. Because these international agreements often come with more standardized ways of measuring progress, it forces a certain level of quantification and accountability, which is exactly what a monitoring and evaluation report needs to track effectively. Are we actually moving the needle in a measurable way?
Right. Accountability is key.
So the big picture challenge that this report really highlights is about scale and timing. We're seeing more frequent, more intense climate impacts that our $14 billion loss is stark proof. So the move away from just reacting to disasters after they happen towards long-term proactive planning, it's not really optional anymore. It's essential.
The old playbook is definitely out the window. So that brings us to our final thought for you to consider. We know that the money spent reacting to disasters has often been way less than the actual economic damage caused. So thinking about that R14 billion agricultural loss, for example, What specific long-term adaptation measures, maybe in water security, maybe in sustainable transport, maybe something else, do you think should be top priority right now to really shift the Western Cape away from this incredibly expensive cycle of disaster recovery? Something to think about.